was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Curry, where the heck have you been? Well, I've been here. No, anyway, we've missed you. How are you?
I've missed you back. I'm so glad to be back. And I almost didn't make today because I had no power and no network at about 4 a.m. this morning. But I'm back.
Yeah, look, here we go with load shedding again. But I imagine that wasn't even the biggest story of the week.
Absolutely not. It wasn't even close. I mean, well, let's start with probably what is not only the biggest story this week, but one of the biggest for the year for sure. Coming in with 250,000 unique mentions in less than a 72-hour period with over 900,000 engagements. This story is massive, and it is Asina Mali or financial exclusion or 2021's version of Fees Must Fall. Mm-hmm. I watched this thing unfold on TV, Howard, and my heart sunk. I felt like I was on a roller coaster. In fact, the report this week is called The Roller Coaster Ride, because that's how this week felt. It was just an appalling week for South Africa and for our history. So, I mean, as far as I can understand it, NSFAS defunded a great deal of students and also didn't pay their bill to BITS. And with that, a whole bunch of students weren't able to get back into campus to learn. And, you know, like in my job, if I've got a PO, I do the job even though I haven't been paid. So you have a PO, and the children should be able to get into class and learn. And that was my first initial reaction. But turns out it's so much worse than that. I mean, it's far worse than that. Half the students, maybe even more than half, have never used a laptop, Howard. And they're in their first year of university. They don't know how to turn it on. So we've not only failed our higher education, but we failed our basic education. And we were late. We're late by at least 15 years. In fact, we're late by 30 years because it's two generations of children that are going through with no education whatsoever that's sufficient to help with higher education.
And imagine the burden that passes on to the universities when you've now got a whole a crop, if that's a reasonable expression, of kids coming into universities who don't have the basics.
Not the basics. And what does that lead us to? I mean, those children aren't going to make it. And so in 10 or 15 years' time, who are our leaders of our captains of industry? You know, this is a very big problem. And as if that problem wasn't big enough, in drive SAPS with a bunch of rubber bullets and kills the man that's not even a student with three rubber bullets, one in the head, one in the chest, and one in the gut. He died in minutes. And then they had the audacity to say he'd had a bad fall. The media started calling it the next Marikana. I thought, like, I'm taking a tumble on this roller coaster. My stomach has hit the floor. And then Becky Kwele, thank goodness, he walked in and called it. He said, you're lying. You're lying and you have to deal with the consequences.
100%.
Then Ace Makashule stood up and said he's behind the students. I mean, that infuriated me. This is the man, Mr. 10% himself. If you just put some of that 10% back into education, we wouldn't be in this mess. And then, I mean, on top of it, you know, it took the president a whole day to come out and say, no, we're going to fix this. And I'm not sure how you're going to fix this. What are you going to fix exactly? Horrible way to start my report. Sorry.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I've been following a lot of these, as no doubt you have. The increase in incidents and videos that have gone viral around the police overstepping, abusing power. We really are
Nathaniel
seeing
Julies.
Yeah, we're seeing too much of this. That this is almost a natural consequence of where that type of behavior goes.
Yet that same police force cannot walk in, the same Becky Kwele cannot walk in and arrest Zuma for being in contempt of court. I don't get it. I feel like I'm in the very weird side of the fun fairground, I must be honest. Anyway, let's move on from the Wits protesters if we can. Brian Malefe, if, like, you're a body language interpreter, did you watch his testimony at all? Please tell me you did.
Well, I did. I did. It was actually quite comical.
Very comical. I mean, this guy chucked around billions as if they were cents. Mm, mm. He said he started with 39 billion for those defunct trains. Remember the trains that didn't work? Mm, mm. He started with 39 billion. When they asked him, how did it go to 43 billion? He went, oh, well, I didn't really care about the 39 billion number. We had to come back and see what the market had to say. So there we jumped another 5 billion, 4 or 5. You can chuck a billion around. It's okay. And then he said he didn't care if there was Forex hedging in the bidding plan. And to that, it then rose to over 50 billion. So that's how we move and we lose 20 billion like in 5 minutes flat. And our children are standing at the gates of their universities begging to get in. I mean, this guy squirmed on his chair, my friend. Like,
yeah,
that was so much.
Squirming was, it was actually embarrassing. I kept thinking, is there no training for that kind of level of lying though?
Yeah. And let's be fair, Advocate Marburg is astonishingly good. Mm. He kept going, I understand that, Mr. Malefe, but.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, I see we are galloping for time. Let's talk quickly about Zuma. Ace Magashule came out and said that the top six that Zuma's on his own. He's on his own. That came from Ace's mouth, so I don't know what that means. Tito Mboweni says that Zuma will not undermine the highest courts in the land when he already has. And Malema reckons that he's about to drop files on a meeting between Zondo and Zuma. Zuma's bank statements show that he's not living on his pension. If we even believe that that was true, yeah, I mean, honestly, perhaps this is the teacup ride of the funfair, my friend. But Zuma is exactly where he is and probably where he will be for a very long time. Malema, however, has made a spotlight this week. VBS arrests amounted to 7 this week, so they're picking them up. However, Malema and Dlozi were too busy defending fisticuffs with security because of Mama Winnie Mandela's funeral. Malema says the evidence was tampered with. I don't know how that can be. Like, maybe there was other evidence, but I did see a video of Malema punching a security guard. Look, I get it. Like, Mama Winnie loved him dearly. She was his child. And I understand the rage and the emotions of the day. But regardless, like, there were punches thrown. That's been postponed to July. And then, in other news, Semizi and Mahali are no longer Man United. I make myself laugh.
Yeah, which is a good thing,
And I can't leave you, Howard, without talking about the Royals.
You can't leave us without that. By the way, did a body language thing there. I know you're not going to agree with me. I know you're not. because you're a nice person, and when somebody says something, Tonya, you want to believe them. But I don't believe so much of it. First of all, you've got to watch it, and you've got to watch how she takes her hand and she stops him from talking. She puts her hand on him when he tries to interrupt.
She gripped his hand.
Did you see that?
Gripped his hand. It's to say, shut up.
Exactly. This poor guy, I don't know if he's a poor guy. He made the choices, but.
No, poor guy's a very rich guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's, you know what, Anton Marburg, the COVID doctor said earlier, you know, the whole world stopped to watch a sad couple who are wealthy, healthy, haven't lost people around them, living in a palatial homes with a child, and another one on the way. And we all felt so sad for them and we want to reach out to them. You know, let's look around us in our community and in our country and focus there. You know, it's
what irritated me the most of that interview is the sheer opulence of the setting.
Absolutely.
And the way that Meghan, I'm not fighting with you. I'm 100% agreeing with you. The way that Meghan tried to make out she had lived an underprivileged life.
Absolutely.
What rubbish.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me you came to South Africa and looked at the children on our streets and you could relate.
100%.
You could not relate at all. No. So don't even pretend you can. It's an insult to those people who are underprivileged and who are trying to get out of their holes. Like this particular story irritated me so much. They contradicted themselves in that interview. 100%. And that's when she grabbed his hand and was like, shut up.
Yeah, I got this. She made
Queen to be a tiny little granny with a blankie over her knees when we all know that under those knees is the MI5. I mean, come on. And then, I mean, Oprah was so animated. If that wasn't scripted, nothing was. And then on top of that, they left the British media. They left the Britain because of the British press, because they couldn't stand the publicity. So what do? They then phone Oprah, because that's not press, my friend. That I don't even know what kind of level of PR that stuff is. They think we're fools. Look, are the British family racist?
Of course they are. All these things can be true.
They even made up an apology for their blatant racism.
Of course. We
and
know
let's
that.
Not forget about Randy Andy. I mean, where is Andy? And why haven't you heard more about
him? I think that was the problem with the flower girls at the wedding. But never mind. I can't... It's 8:21. Tanya Curry, go diving or something. Thank you for.
I will. I'm fine.
It's awesome. Awesome to have you back. It is absolutely awesome to have you back. I need to cut this because we have way run over time.